What a time this would be for an interception. Carr in an empty backfield. Motion. Tipton. Carr. Back. Carr steps up. Hit as he fires the football. And it is intercepted. It is intercepted by Reed Blankenship. It's intercepted by Reed Blankenship. And the Eagles are going to pull off the upset.
Oh, turn out the lights on the Saints.
Yeah, it was a perfect time for an interception, and Reed Blankenship delivered. Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillian with us right now. The guy on that call and all the calls yesterday, Merrill Reese, after a dramatic 15-12 victory for the Eagles down in New Orleans. Good morning, Merrill.
Merrill.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I feel wonderful today. I really do.
Well, Merrill, that was a heck of a win, considering all the ups and downs during the game. Merrill, let's go through the final big play on offense, which, of course, was the Dallas Goedert 61-yard play. Take us through your vision on the play, how you saw it unfold, because, you know, it's 3rd and 16. I'm thinking, let's just try to get 8 or 10 back, and then we'll go for it on 4th down. And as soon as Dallas catches it after the guys ran into each other on New Orleans, the seas kind of parted there, and it was like, oh, boy, and he was off to the races, Merrill.
Yeah, it was really a perfect pick also by Jahan Dotson helping set that whole thing up. But then Dallas Goedert, of all the tight ends the Eagles have had, they've had so many really good tight ends. I think he's one of the absolute best in yards after the catch. He turns into a running back at that point. He's so good.
Well, it was his yards yesterday, Merrill, 170, the most by an Eagles tight end since 1965. It's a long time since we've seen a tight end have that kind of day. Merrill, that was an amazing play, and obviously capped off at the end with a Saquon touchdown. But how about the first Saquon run, Merrill? We've seen a few of these now, the one he ran for the touchdown earlier in the fourth quarter. We've seen a few of these so far this season. The burst he has, Merrill, still year 7 of his career, it's still there. I'm so impressed with the play of Saquon.
Isn't he amazing? He really is. Jim Sepp. I saw him hit the line, and he goes into open space, and then he just runs away from everybody. It's a track meet. He wins. He is unbelievable.
Merrill, what did you make of the play yesterday of the defense? So maligned during the week, and with fair reason. I mean, they hadn't played well the first couple games, last in the league in yards per play allowed. But they go to New Orleans yesterday, Merrill, against the best offense statistically the first 2 weeks, and I thought they dominated them really from start to finish. How impressed were you with the defense yesterday, and specifically that defensive line?
They were great, but you know what the whole thing about this team is? This is a good football team, and we thought going into the season this is a good football team. But we also know, or we should know, we say it all the time, that from a football standpoint, an NFL standpoint, September's a lie. We see things early in the season and we say, oh, my goodness, the Cowboys, they're amazing. Look at the way they annihilated Cleveland. And then the next week they get killed by New Orleans. And then there's New Orleans going into this game. They score over 40 points a game. They look unstoppable. The Eagles hold them to 12 points. I mean, so many things. You look at the results from yesterday. The Panthers. I mean, it's not exactly like they brought in an all-world quarterback. They replaced Bryce Young with Andy Dalton, who's forever, and he's a backup-type quarterback now. And they beat the Raiders. And you look at the Seahawks killing the Dolphins. Of course, the Dolphins are going to be in big trouble without Tua. The Packers... the Eagles beat the Packers, and they are very much a contender, and now they're doing it with Malik Willis. So there are so many crazy things that happen. How about the 49ers? The 49ers are now a 1-2 team. So I think we judge too quickly. We have to wait until everything settles after the first month of the season. But I will tell you this. I think the people who had high hopes for the Eagles going into the season are not going to be disappointed.
Merrill, I'm glad you brought that up, that September could lie to us, because I think a lot of people right now, and it's fair based on so far this year, that they're saying Jalen Hurts is a turnover-prone quarterback. 6 turnovers in 3 games. Merrill, how do you view Jalen? I mean, yesterday there were some downs, the interception, the fumble, but also I thought a lot of ups. I mean, he completed well over 70% of his passes. He has the game, you know, the big throw to Goddard to help set them up for the game-winning touchdown. I thought there were a lot of good from Jalen, but obviously a couple plays, you know, he needs to clean up there. What'd you make of Jalen yesterday?
Well, I thought he played well. I thought he played very, very well. He'll be the first to tell you that the turnovers hurt. He feels badly about them. don't be so sure that the interception was all his fault. I think there was some communication breakdown there, and I think it had to do with the pattern and everything else, but I don't think it was all on Jalen. Of course, you can't have the fumbles, but he knows how important it is to stay away from the turnovers. The turnovers can kill. But he's a great young quarterback. He's only 25 years old. He's getting better and better. I had a lot of people say to me going into the season, you know, the thing about Hurts is he's lost his speed. He doesn't have the running ability that he had a couple of years ago. Well, guess what? He hasn't lost a thing, and he is going to continue to get better. And I think the combination of Jalen Hurts and Kellen Moore is going to prove to be a big, big, big success.
Merrill Reese with us here. Merrill, you kind of called it there, saying, man, we could use an interception here, and then Reed Blankenship delivered on that final play to seal the deal. Merrill, Reed Blankenship here, he's an undrafted guy. When we talk about the Eagles' defense, we don't say his name very often, but he's got 6 interceptions in his first 28 career games. The last guy to do that in an Eagles uniform, his name was Eric Allen. Merrill, this guy, he's got a knack for the football, and it seems like he makes big interceptions at big moments.
Well, you know, you say a knack for the football, and I call it instinct. He just seems to feel what is coming. Do you remember who his first interception was against?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, against Aaron Rodgers. And then, of course, he picked off the Packers again in Brazil, and then he comes up with this game-ending interception yesterday. Reed Blankenship has great instincts. He just has the feel for the game, and he makes big plays. And he's got a lot of ability with his hands. I mean, he could become... He's a receiver type in the secondary. Often guys drop the ball and you say, that's why they're defensive backs or safeties, and that's why they're not wide receivers. Well, in his case, he's a safety with wide receiver hands.
Yeah, and both of his picks this year, not easy catches, and he got his hand underneath to make sure it didn't hit the ground. Merrill, great calls yesterday. We appreciate you hopping on. Enjoy the week after a win. Thank you, Merrill.
Merrill.
Yeah, I feel, guys, it's good to talk to you, but I really feel uplifted. I know you know, there's an old saying about the thrill of victory and the agony of reading about it or hearing about it the next game. But truly, yes, there are things that can be better. They cannot continue taking the procedural penalties that they've been taking that can end drives. But this is a good football team, and I am really feeling strongly that they will continue to get better.
Well, Merrill, we hope so. And a big one coming up Tampa on Sunday. Thank you, Merrill.
See you guys.
There he goes. Merrill Reese there. See, Merrill's feeling good.
Yeah, I feel good too, Joe.
After a good win yesterday.
Yeah, I feel good too, Joe, but still, we can't expect for it to bounce our way every Sunday.
I agree with that.
You know, and you can't, like, I wouldn't be as upset as I am about some of the play calling if this hadn't been 2 weeks in a row. I mean, I know I sound good and crazy because, like I said, I was in a locker room where, you know, you say, hey, man, you take a win any way you get it. But when you see moments where you're talking about 3 points, could have swung the game either way in both games. Like, you're right, Joe. We might be in games like this all year long.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, the Kansas City Chiefs were in a game with the Falcons last night. Team we just played that were in games like that.
And, Hugh, it's becoming the NFL now. The margin of victory in the NFL, I saw the stat before this past weekend, and I don't think there were too many blowouts this week, so it probably didn't change that much. But the margin of victory is as small as it's been in years. Like,
yes.
Games are decided
parity
by basically 3 to 4 points,
yes,
every game.
And you're going to sit here and tell me that you're okay with some decisions, key decisions, that are being made that could swing the momentum of the game. Because I'm not a mathematician. But if we take the 3 points before the half and the score, the Saints came down and scored, right? We would have had to kick a field goal. Bottom line is this. We wouldn't have needed a touchdown to win the game. We could have kicked a field goal. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
With our money kicker. But yet instead, we don't let him kick at the half. We don't let him kick at the half where he's money. Can't remember where the ball was at, but we were in scoring position.
Oh, they were on the 15-yard line.
But, Joe, we're going to put him in a situation where he got to kick a 60-yard field goal?
After he's sitting around for 3 hours.
He's been chilling.
Yeah.
He ain't been chilling. He probably on the sideline warming up.
But he's still.
But you okay with that. But you're going to hit me with a win is a win. But you're going a chip shot for him at the half that's going to tie the game 3-3. We're not going to do that.
So I'm not.
But we're going to ask him to kick a 60-yard field goal.
To be clear, I'm not okay with the head coach.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I'm okay with the roster, though. I thought the guys they had a lot of injuries. They overcame.
Yeah, they overcame the injuries,
Joe. They overcame a lot. They overcame their own head coach. They overcame the right tackle going out, the right guard. At that last possession, they're without their top four receivers.
And he balled out.
And they found a way. I mean, they found a way to win the football game.
Despite of the turnovers and despite of that three-point swing. They found a way. But guess what? I ain't trying to live like that every week. I'm not trying to do this.
This is who they are.
No, but that's not sustainable.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying it's been a year plus. They play a lot of these games.
Can I be honest with you? If this game wouldn't have turned out the way that it did yesterday, we lost. Do you know what the phone calls would have been today?
Fire Sirianni.
All day long.
No question.
All day long. I can't live like this, man.
Well, you better buckle up, buddy, because this is the season. All right,
I can't live like this, Joe.
215-592-9494. Back to all your phone calls on the other side here. Your reaction to the win. Was it a good win? I say so. Hugh's got, he feels
trepidation.
Good, yeah, Hugh's got a lot of stuff there today.
I'm an emotional train wreck.
You are a train wreck today. I'm feeling good. They won a football game. They outgained their team by 200 yards. All right, Hugh will break down the play of the D-line at 11:30, including a breakout performance by Jalen Carter and what he said about his play after the game. You hear from Carter as well. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show, as always, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Last week you were harder on yourself. A couple days ago, calling the first two games performance trash. Who would you describe your performance tonight?
Trash.
You didn't think you did well tonight either.
I still don't like how I played, but I know that we played good as a team today. That's one thing, and I'm happy for that. I think we got some boost in the locker room right now, and we just got to move on to next week and get another dub.
What would it take for you to be happy with the performance?
I don't know. I got to be like Khalil Mack, get like 6 sacks in one game. No, I'm just playing, but like, I don't know, man. I feel like I love sacks. I know that's big. I love tackle. I love everything, but I don't know. Just getting a dub as a team makes me happy, but I still got to see more out of myself.
The voice of Jalen Carter.
Good to hear.
Yeah, I love that. I love that he wants to do more. That, he could call his performance trash from Kid Around yesterday. I think he was awesome yesterday. Yesterday, 2 tackles for loss, 2 passes knocked down. He was in the backfield the entire game, and he blew up their run game. Jalen Carter, I do like that he has a high sense of how good he should be, how great he should be.
Should be out there dominating every week, man. Shouldn't be a week go by that those 2 tackles shouldn't dominate.
Well, and especially him. I mean, he's the one that everyone has said since the moment he entered the NFL draft, he's a special player. The next Sue, the next Sapp, all that stuff. And yesterday he played like that. 215-592-9494 for this segment sponsored by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. Let's go back to your phone calls here. Was that a good win? I say yes. Hugh's got a lot of
trepidation.
You got a lot of stuff.
I'm just irritated, man. I'm a little irritated.
I feel it. I can hear it today. Well, I think you're not the only one, considering how silly and sloppy some of that stuff was yesterday. Derek is up on WIP. Hey, Derek.
Yo, your fantasy team sucks, bro.
Derek, you got me yesterday. You got me. Right.
You know what? Shut up.
You got me. It's all right.
Whoa. You, man, that is – was that a bad win for me is the question.
Now, you know what? It's early in the season.
Oh,
we're,
wow.
we're working through some stuff. We got new coordinators. Give me a few weeks to get this settled down, all right?
Listen, I'm on the plane headed back real quick. With the Jalen Turner's fumbles, they really can't happen. I also feel like when we talk about your receiver open.
Oh. All right, Derek.
Yeah, that's a bad. Derek, barely hear you, bro.
I'm glad we got you on to rip my fantasy team. Yeah. I mean, Derek, we were hearing the flight attendant giving you directions there.
Yeah, that was bad.
Derek's not obviously paying attention to the flight safety because he's calling the show.
So what's your fantasy excuse? You didn't play in the preseason?
We just had a bad week. Yeah, we had a bad week.
Just a bit.
We'll rebound. I mean, I came in 1-1. It's not like I'm embarrassing myself. I had a bad week. I mean, everyone has a bad week once in a while. I had a bad week. I mean, we started off Thursday night. Ramondre Stevenson gave me 0.3 points. That's how you know the whole thing is screwed from the jump.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's rough. Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
Nick Sirianni possesses a level of professional coaching insanity unmatched. You can't leave points on the field when you're in a defensive struggle, even though our offense was moving the ball. You got to be able to read the room, man. Like, don't stop trying to go for it. Stop trying to be the smartest guy in the room when you're not, clearly not. And if it wasn't for that defense yesterday, there's a pretty good chance we would have lost.
Well, it wasn't for the defense, and I know I'm going to give credit to Moore and the execution.
Oh, yeah.
But the reality is, Jeff, I mean, they got bailed out by the defense, and the Saints defenders ran into each other. I mean, we could all just be real about it, right? It was a great play call, executed. Jalen, you know, threw the ball so Goddard could run after. But, like, if the Saints guys don't run into each other, they probably lose the game yesterday.
I mean, you really have to give game balls to the defense, and then you got to give it to Goddard and Saquon, because without their performances, it would have been we would have lost. There's no doubt in my mind.
Oh, of course,
you got to clean that up, man.
Yeah, you do. And my issue, Jeff, I feel like Sirianni is trying to insert himself into the game too often. Right. I think he's trying to almost, and I'm not sure if it's consciously or subconsciously, because the only thing he affects, right, he's got the culture stuff and then the in-game stuff. You know, fourth down decisions, field goal. That's his job. And I feel like he's almost trying too hard to justify his role.
He's like that rich frat boy that that's on a sports team only because his father has a name on the building because he pays a lot of money to the university. He's not really that good, but he's just goofy. He's just there.
Yeah, and you know what? Be there and don't get involved, and they'll probably win the game without you. No,
exactly.
Jeff, it's a fair point, Jeff. We appreciate the phone call. Hugh, what was that noise we heard a minute ago? You?
Joe, I'm rewatching the game, right? And I think it was, I don't know if it was Goddard or one of the tight ends.
You gasped.
No, they were coming on a run play, and boy, he got his clock clean. That was a physical confrontation.
It was very
yesterday.
Physical.
And I was watching the play, and I'm like, damn, he got jacked
there
up.
There was the one play early. I'm trying to remember which side it was. One of the line, I think the Eagles run offense and the Saints on defense. One of the linebackers just flew up
and crushed someone. And he crushed him.
Was it Calcaterra that got
hit? I think it was Cal.
Or Stoll. Yeah, it was one of the Eagles tight ends. I mean, it was.
And that's why I was like, damn. Because he was coming on the end because it was a running play. But he still sprung Saquon. But boy, that safety came up from his safety position. And like, that was a bell ringer.
It was a very – I mean, look at all the injuries that happened. So Lane got a concussion. We hope he's okay. So we have no updates yet. Sirianni is going to speak this afternoon. I'm sure a lot of the questions will be asked about the injuries. Concussion for Lane Johnson. And that looked – you know, every concussion obviously is its own thing, and they're all, you know, significant in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
He looked just out of it on the – when he was walking on the sideline, Lane, he looked like – I mean, he just looked in a bad way. Then you had Becton go out with a finger injury. Britton Covey's the only one we do have an update on. It seems like it's going to be about 6 weeks, a broken bone in his shoulder. And then obviously late in the game, Devontae taking that hit on a play. The referee should have blown the whistle. So it was a very physical game. David in Westchester. What's up, David?
Hey, what's up, Joe?
Hey, David.
Did you see Rex Ryan on his pregame ripping Nick Sirianni?
I did not see that yesterday, but I'm not surprised.
You guys got to look it up because it was a personal attack. And far for me to agree with the blowhard, but I think Rex might have been more right than wrong. So,
what did he say? Basically, he doesn't know what he's doing?
Yeah, he said, you know, he takes credit when, you know, credit's not due. He points a finger at everybody else when, you know, things mess up. And so that's why I think, like, Nick was, like, you know, pointing to, I made the call. He's trying to take responsibility, but... I do know how to fix this team because a win is a win, but it was an ugly win. And in order to clean this ugliness up, what you need to do is start a campaign of Ask Out Nick. I don't want to see anybody get fired, you know.
You want him to resign? You want him to resign?
No. He don't have to resign, but you can put him, Howie's got a room in the NovaCare, way in the back, and Nick can become the equipment guy. And that way he doesn't.
So who's
going to
coach? Who's the head coach then? Howie?
Nope. Well, Howie is the head coach right now. I don't know if you know that or not.
Well, it feels like it sometimes.
Yeah, but then what you do is you have two assistant head coaches. You have Coach Goober, who will coach the offense. You have Coach Fangio, which will coach the defense. And then they will just take care of what they need to take care of. You don't have anybody making these stupid plays because I know Hugh said he's not a math major, but I can tell you right now, I got an honorary degree from Golden Beacon College yesterday, and I
heard they give those out to just anybody.
I know. That's how special I am. But 3 is better than 0. It's greater than 0. You take 3 all the time, anytime in football because, you know, points aren't guaranteed in football. When you got that, you got to take it. And he didn't do it. And, you know, in my opinion, he has got to go. So if we don't ask out Nick and he doesn't, you know, step down voluntarily, as a great leader should, when you're not doing a job, you should step down, then he needs to be fired. You know, he's got to go. He's got to get off my sideline. He's got to get out of there, and he's got to stop ruining my team, because this team has so much talent, and they're not utilizing, and he's just terrible.
Well, yesterday, some of the decisions were awful. David, we approved the phone call. So we are an hour and a half into the show. We have a fire Nick phone call, and we want Nick to resign. Again, I'm not the biggest Nick Sirianni guy. They did win the football game yesterday. They are 2-1. The coach is not getting fired today. And I don't anticipate him resigning. Now, I mean, I guess if we scream loud enough, perhaps he gets the message here on this. But he's not going anywhere. We're going to have to deal with this at least for the rest of the season.
I just want him to do better, man. I got plans. You know, and some of my plans involve getting back to New Orleans. Mm. So you have to be better. Like, the thing that bothered me the most was the timing of all of this. This is 2 weeks in a row where the plays that you've called have been questionable. You know, I'm not as mad as Rex Ryan was or whatever he said about Coach, because I like Coach. But, man, you have to be able to learn from the mistakes that you've made. And you can't tell me that the analytics said in that situation – Go for whatever you were trying to do. Go for the touchdown.
I don't believe they did. I mean, so
what are you doing? Like that right there. That's again. I don't want the coach fired, but that's a fireable offense.
It's actually, I would respect it more if his ethos was, I always go for it, right? Then at least I can understand.
That's the problem, because last week
it was the opposite.
That's what I'm saying. It's not consistent.
Like, I'm a fan of Dan Campbell because I just think he's always foot on the gas. And look, it burnt him last year in the title game. Like, that's going to happen since. But at least I understand your idea of what you're doing. The Sirianni thing, it's like sometimes yes, sometimes no, and there's no – if you do that, you twist yourself into a pretzel. I think that is it's a major concern. I feel it was a good win yesterday, but they won it despite the coach. Big V and Mount Laurel. What's up, Big V?
V.
Whoa, what's up, Hugh, Joe, Kyle?
What's up, Big V?
What's up with all you Philadelphia winemakers, all that crying and doubt and everything, and Hugh was the only one that wasn't on that plant-based butter – talking about, and he guaranteed us a win, and they won.
I was put under a lot of pressure to guarantee that win.
We bullied him into guaranteeing.
Well, that's because we have a good culture here.
Yeah, we got a great culture.
We bully each other until make the show the best it could be. So what are you feeling, Big V? You a good win yesterday?
It was a win. I mean, does it have to be spectacular for it to be a win? I mean,
well, there are good wins. There are good wins, and then there are okay wins, and then there are bad wins. Yeah, I thought yesterday was a good win.
It's still a win. We can look like crap and win the Super Bowl.
No. If they look like crap, they are crap, and they won't win the Super Bowl. I heard this nonsense. Hold on. I heard this last year, and I was, oh, Joe, you're being too negative. Well, here's what I was positive of last year. They weren't good enough. And when you win games like that, it means you're not good enough. Now, but I'm with you. Yeah, I thought yesterday was a good win, so we're on the same page today.
Oh, great. See, now we're into that 20% that I'm agreeing with.
That's right. It's a good day.
Yes, it's a great day all around for me. but listen, guys, all Nick's got to do is keep doing what he's doing.
No, Big V, he can't. Yeah. He can't, yeah. Big V.
Yeah, look, come on, man. Ever since he's been on the team, we've been in the playoffs.
Did you, by any chance, did you watch the Falcons-Kansas City Chiefs game last night?
No.
You didn't? Well, let me tell you what happened at the end of the game. Patrick Mahomes, it was like a minute or something left on the clock, and they were going back and forth. I think it was like at least one or two lead changes during the course of the game. Bottom line is this. It was like a minute or something left on the clock. You know what Andy Reid did? He ran the clock out. You know why? He didn't even take a chance kicking the football. You know why he didn't do that? Because he didn't want to give them an opportunity to even attempt to do what they did the week before. We can't live like this, man. We cannot live like this and be okay with it. Cannot be sustained. We were fooled by this last year. Can't do it this year. We have to learn from the mistakes that we've made, and we can't keep making the same mistakes. And the reason why I brought that up is because of the fact that Kirk Cousins had a drive in under a minute where he drove down the field and won the game to beat us. Andy Reid wasn't taking that chance. He made Patrick Mahomes, go look it up. He made Patrick Mahomes drop back and he sat there for a little while, then he downed it. He lost yards, but he didn't get a ball up. He wasn't giving him back the football. He said, bump that. Like, you could have easily kicked the field goal and gave him the ball and let them get one more chance.
Not going to happen.
He was like, bump that.
Big V, we appreciate it. So you mentioned, Hugh, this can't keep happening. And I'll put it this way. The team's not good enough to overcome the coach making too many mistakes. Like, sometimes a team can be. I just looked it up because I wanted to see the numbers. So I thought Barry Switzer, when I was young, was the dumbest coach in the league. And he won a Super Bowl. But you know why? Because that Cowboys team had Hall of Famers all over the place.
Yeah, they were just better group.
They were better than everyone. So in 1995, again, I don't think Barry Switzer knew anything what he was doing. I think you listening could have coached that team to the Super Bowl. They outscored their opponents that year by about 145 points, and he was a dummy. And they still won the Super Bowl. This team's not that. Like, Hugh, if you're winning every game by three scores, then if the coach makes one silly thing, it's not going to
change. It can swing the momentum.
Yeah, but it probably won't. If you're winning by three scores, it's probably not going to make a difference. This team's not going to be up by three scores on many people. They're just not. I don't view them that good. They're going to be in tight games, and the coach matters. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get to the Big Hugh breakdown here. Defensive line yesterday, Hugh.
Hey.
What did you notice as they actually did the job?
First of all, let me say this. I know that everybody's talking about the game that Jalen Carter had, and rightfully so, because he was the absolute game wrecker.
Yep.
But you got to give props to that whole defensive line. I know that one of the big stories is the fact that Bryce Huff did not show up again this weekend.
And he played less.
Bryce Huff had some pretty good rushes. The problem that Bryce Huff is having, he's still trying to learn that left defensive end spot, that left outside linebacker spot. But I saw him flash on film, Joe. He just has to learn how to get off blocks better and put himself in better position to rush the passer. If you go back and you look at the film and the plays that I did see him play, he did put pressure on the quarterback, or he got up the field and he was active in the passing game. It just was one of those things, man, that it just didn't happen for him this week. But he is getting better. And shout out to Jordan Davis, man. Like, everybody talks about the contribution that Jalen Carter had, but Jordan Davis played a hell of a game too. This is what I'm talking about, people, when I talk about that want to. All across the board, everything that I talked about last week that they didn't do, they did it this week. They set the edge. They played with their hands. They were aggressive. It's amazing what happens when somebody calls you off the porch. When they call the big dog off the porch because they say he ain't barking, he just all barking, no bite.
Mm-hmm.
They had a little bit of bite about him this week, man. And that was the key to this game. They dominated the line of scrimmage for the most part. They didn't allow Alvin Kamara to get over 100 yards on the ground. That was huge. That's the one thing that I said last week, that if you want to win this game, that's the first thing that you have to do is stop the run. They stopped the run, and they were able to get after the passes. So kudos to the defense. But here's the challenge, fellas. Since y'all keeping receipts and y'all listen, that's 1 week of football. We got 14 more of these things to go. Hey, man, is that right, man?
Yeah, that would
right.
be it, yeah.
Yeah.
14
yeah.
more games.
You know, math, you know, me and that
14
math,
plus 3 is 17.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, the regular season. So as salty as you were about what was being said about you last week, you got to keep that fire. Keep those receipts, if you will. Keep those receipts. Keep that fire in your gut. And, hell, if by me sitting here talking bad about y'all put y'all in a position to get to the Super Bowl and win it all, hell, I did my job. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being
a
bad guy.
Do you want a spot on the parade?
No, I don't. That's all them. But what I will say this. Hey, be mad at me because it's my job to critique.
Well, you were right. I mean, that you thought they could be better. They were better. And I'm glad they played salty. I'm glad they played that way. So two things I thought of as you said that. And you kind of broke down what you saw from those guys up front. Number one. You know how we always talk about snap counts and percentage of time a guy is out there. And we talk about guys being tired. Jalen Carter yesterday played 89% of the snaps.
Yeah.
You know what? Yesterday was the grown-up big boy Jalen Carter game. He dominated, and they didn't rest him. They said, you're our best player. You need
you know
to be on the field.
Because this is the one thing that I know for certain, as especially playing defensive line. When you're mad, when you're pissed off.
You don't want to come out of the game?
You don't feel nothing. Like, it's like, it was. I forgot what movie it was. It was a gangster movie where dude was like, He was in a street fight or whatever, and he handled his business, and he was bleeding, and he was like, all this blood, and I don't feel a thing. Can't remember the name of that movie, but I thought that was one of the coolest scenes ever because he was in Predator mode.
Mm.
And when you're like that, man, and you're feeling it and you feel disrespected, like, you don't get tired. You don't get tired when you're like that. So guess what? If it takes us talking bad about y'all every week to get y'all going like that, then I'd be more than happy to be there booing, come down to the NovaCare every day and talk about how much y'all stink.
That's a,
each and every one of
that's
them.
That's how you know Hugh cares. He'll tell
gonna get Hugh down there.
He will rip them until they play better.
Yes, because you know, as a parent, you know there's one good cop. It's like as a parent, you're good cop, bad
good
cop.
Good cop, bad cop. Of course.
I revel in my role as bad guy. Hey, Dad, can I ask some money? No, I ain't got none. With a straight face, that used to be the best thing ever. Like when my kids would ask for money, I stopped carrying money. So that way I was never lying. And then they made this thing called Apple Pay.
Yeah, Venmo, Apple Pay.
Damn.
That's over now. That doesn't work.
That hurt when they did me like that.
No cash on me. We'll
no cash. I ain't got no cash.
Sorry.
But now they'd be like, oh, Dad, that's okay. You could just Venmo me.
All right, so we have credit for Jalen Carter for his domination, playing 89% of the snaps. Can I also give out one more little piece of credit for yesterday?
What you gotta give some credit
for? I know you kind of spun it into you saw some more positive things that he's developing. Credit to Vic Fangio for less Bryce Huff. Less is more. He only played 18 snaps. Do you think they would have stopped the run as well if he played more?
No, he
I don't believe
like,
he
let me
would've.
Tell you. BG, I texted him this morning too. He must be getting some treatment or whatever. But the way he set that, like BG, that OG, he set the edge and they made it hard for him to run. Bryce was trying to do that, but he still learning the running game. He had a couple edge setters, but when it came time, when the rubber hit the road, you got to go with your guys, man.
BG's, but right now, forget their salaries, forget their ages. BG's a better player than Bryce Huff.
Well, yeah, because BG's the more sure thing.
And the last play, when Blankenship made the interception, the pressure's coming from BG. BG and Sweat got there.
The rubber hit the road yesterday, Joe.
You got to trust those guys.
The rubber hit the road yesterday.
All right, let's grab Fabian down in Miami. He's happy because that was a good win. What's up, Fabian?
Hey, morning. How's it going?
What's up, Fabian? What are you feeling today?
Yeah, I mean, real quick before I get to my point. So that caller's point, man, with Nick Sirianni, like, I mean, as far as, like, you know, everybody's saying his job is to, you know, for the coach or motivate guys, but how frustrating does it have to be as a team to sit there and convert these fourth downs and these long third downs? And then you get there and you don't even take points. It's like, this guy hates field goals, man.
Well, he doesn't want to kick them. I mean, and I understand the idea, Fabian, that in the NFL, points is usually, the more points you could get, you know, these games tend to go high scoring. But you got to read the room. You got a defensive game yesterday, and the scoring is down this year. 3 points matters in these games now.
Yeah, and as far as the defense, Hugh, like you said, man, Jordan Davis, that those are flashes you're talking about, you know what I mean? Like, he came up pretty big, and Jalen Carter, you know, he did his thing. And, you know, one thing about the defense, I know it's probably not that important right now, but what I think with Quinyon Mitchell, man, this guy has to start catching those balls, man. Like, those can be the differences in later games. You know, he could have had an interception, and he kind of just swatted it down. I think he needs to start getting those balls and getting these more turnovers, man. And as far as I want to talk about Devontae Smith, man, he carried the team on his back, man. I hate that he got hurt. You know what I'm saying? His home state, Louisiana. But I honestly feel like when he got hurt, I think the whole dynamic of the offense just shifted. You know what I'm saying? Saquon, like the next play, he broke for that big touchdown run, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, they had to get their guys back.
You know, I think, Fabian, it was an underrated part of that game. The Saints pushed the Eagles' buttons yesterday, and they responded. Fabian, we appreciate the phone call. You know, whether it was late or not, I blame the referee more than the Saints. But Devontae got hit and concussed on a play that could have been different, right? The guy flew in there. That seemed to bother the Eagles. And then the play where the offensive tackle had the unnecessary roughness and drove Slay into the ground out of bounds.
Yeah.
The Eagles seemed like they were really, like, that fired them up. The two of their guys got almost taken out of the game because of you know, extracurriculars by the other team. 215-592-9495. We'll get to more calls coming up. Reacting to the win over the Saints. More of the good from yesterday's game. The MVP, Saquon and Goddard. Plus, what Goddard had to say about the offensive performance immediately after the game. Some interesting audio from Goddard next. What he said and really what he didn't say. We'll hit that next. Midday Show, 215-592-9494 on Sports Radio 94 WIP. All right, let's talk about hair. My hair. Everyone's hair. Listen, as we get older, our hairlines, they disappear. They thin. So I went to see an expert, the doctor I trust the most, Dr. Rafi at Precision Hair Restoration. He opened my eyes to all the different things that are available, including the cutting-edge Artis IX robotic hair transplant. And look, I was blown away with what they could do there. Are you newly single, have an upcoming wedding or job interview, or just want your hair back? Dr. Rafi can help. Call Dr. Rafi, 215-800-9100. That's 215-800-9100, and get your confidence back, or visit phillyhairmd.com.
Second down and five. Do they keep it on the ground with Saquon Barkley? They do. He breaks free. He's at the 50, the 40, the 30. He's going to go. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley.
Well, that's breaking it wide open. Unbelievable blocking. He comes off of that left side, and there's a crease. And when he hits the crease, he just starts to put on the jets, and he outruns everybody. Marshawn Lattimore is in his wake.
65-yard touchdown run, and the Eagles not only score, but take the lead.
What a run by Saquon, and we're getting used to this now. 3 weeks in, Saquon Barkley leads the NFL in rushing yards, and they have been explosive runs. Welcome back, Midday Show, 215-592-9494. We react to yesterday, a victory by the Eagles. Was it a good win? I haven't checked the Twitter poll. I'm curious what people think. Was yesterday a good win? I think it was. Saquon, explosive, made a huge play. After the game, Dallas Goedert on the field. Hugh, I want you to listen to this one. Really kind of hone in on what he says. This was interesting. I had Fox still on before I switched over to another game or Red Zone or whatever. And Goddard's on the field. They put the microphone in front of him, and this is off the cuff, right? And I just thought it was interesting how he dealt out the credit and then where he dealt the, hey, we got to be
better. In the moment.
Here.
He was in the moment.
In the moment. Dallas Goedert obviously was a huge part of the win, 170 yards receiving. Here's Goddard on the field yesterday after the game.
How is the offense progressing? I talked to Jalen earlier this week, and he feels like you guys are making great strides. What can you be?
Yeah, I mean, we got to keep going. There's a lot of stuff we got to clean up. You know, we turned the ball over way too many times in the first three games. We need to clean that up. Foster, good job, baby. And, you know, that's one thing. We got to focus on the details. We can't hurt ourselves. And we got to stay ahead of the sticks, because if we do, you know, we got a great running back and great receivers. We just got to make sure we can play ahead of the sticks to continue putting up more points than we did today.
Did you pick up on what I picked up on there?
You're talking about the turnovers?
Well, so he says we got to clean up turnovers. Who's turning the ball over? That's the quarterback.
Yep.
Right? And then he says we have a great running back, great receivers. He didn't say we have a great line. I mean, he didn't say anything about the line, but like he didn't say great quarterback, running back, receiver. Like, it just was weird. And to be fair to Dallas, in the post game, right, when he's asked questions and he's got maybe he's, you know, a little bit more free thinking or clear thinking, he did praise Jalen for checking to the touchdown or the 61-yard pass to set up the touchdown. So it wasn't like he dissed him or anything. It just kind of, I thought it was interesting that
it's a fact though.
He didn't say anything nice about Jalen though.
Well, you got to clean up the turnovers.
Well, I agree.
Like, because here's the thing, because he's living in the reality that, yeah, we won, but we can't have this. We can't have this. And it's okay to say that, because as a former football player, that's the wheelhouse that you live in. You dodged a bullet yesterday. Jobs were saved yesterday. If I'm being honest, jobs were saved yesterday, because if we lose that game in New Orleans yesterday the way that we lost it, these conversations that we're having right now, they'll be trying to fire Jalen. We'd be looking for another quarterback today, and we'll definitely be looking for another head coach. That's a fact. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I hate to be the drunk uncle at the barbecue telling you the real right now.
Well, that's your Monday roll around here.
But I feel like it's important to – we have to clean this up. Good. I mean, it was a great way to bounce back. Showed a lot of resilience yesterday. I like that. I like the fact that we were able to overcome adversity early on, and we were able to win the football game. But if we're being realistic about ourselves, and if the main thing is the main thing, we need to stop with the bonehead play calls and the bonehead turnovers. That's a fact. Hate to be that guy, but we need some tough love right now, man.
Yeah.
Because this reminds me eerily of last year. When everything was cool, we're in the same situation. You know what he said? You know what? It don't look right, but
they're winning. I know why you're saying that. Here's why I feel it's a little different. they were getting outgained by 100 yards. Like, it was almost like a miracle they won the game. Yesterday, they outplayed the Saints for a lot of those plays. Now, they gave it back. They made that gap go away because the head coach is just in la-la land and the quarterback keeps turning the football over. Like, those two made the game closer. This, if you look at the box score and you didn't know anything about the game, you'd say they should have blown them out. The quarterback and the coach made that a close game, Kyle.
Yeah. Well, like, so that's part of why I don't feel good after the win, because it's hard for a team to overcome the head coach and the quarterback being the ones that hurt the team every week. Like, these weren't fluke things that were killing us that we had to get over. Like, no, it's the two most important people out there are screwing this team. Like, if you take it, like, whether or not Goddard was taking a shot at Hurts, I don't know. Probably not. He was telling the truth, though.
He was.
We know that A.J. Brown is great when he's out there. Devontae Smith, great. Goddard, we just saw, great. The line, awesome. Saquon, like, all that. Kellen Moore, like, I play calling maybe a little bit questionable at times, but I think we all can agree it's so much better than what we were getting last year.
And he designs people open. He gets people open.
The only one holding this offense back is the quarterback with the turnovers. I think he has the most passing yards of any quarterback in football now, Jalen Hurts.
He does.
And why do we not have the most points of any other team in football right now?
Turnovers specifically in the red zone.
Yeah, because we're turning the ball over, and, you know, the coach has some hand in that. Like, some of the turnovers are fourth downs that we're giving the ball back to them. But Hurts is not, he's holding on to the ball too long, and then when he gets rid of it, you can't trust him to throw over the middle of the field. He's throwing a pick. He's fumbling the ball. Jalen is the one thing that's holding this offense back from being as great as it can be right now.
Let's go to Mario in Westchester. What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, buddy? What are you feeling after the win?
Yesterday was an ugly win. It was a win, but I'm not happy about it.
How come?
Our offense, man. How long was it 3-0 yesterday?
Forever. I mean, they didn't score till the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and Hurts, what's going on? We got all day with our O-line. Kelsey's not here, but we're still kicking butt on the line, and he looks lost.
Well, I don't think he looks lost. I just think he's making mistakes. I mean, he is completing like 70% of his passes. It's not like every play the ball is thrown into the ground. I mean, he's completing a lot of passes. He's turning the ball over too much.
He's getting the ball out there, but it's almost like Jameis Winston 30-for-30 stat. He's balling out, but then half the time he's also giving the ball away. He's not getting deep balls. He's also afraid to attack the middle of the field. All his passes go right to the sideline.
It's, you know, I wanted to push back, Mario, on the Jameis Winston thing.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the stat. I can't defend that.
Mario, we appreciate the phone call. So Kyle said he leads the NFL in passing yards, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet he has 2 turnovers per game. I mean, a 30 turnover season with the most passing yards in the NFL is the definition of Jameis Winston.
30-for-30.
That's literally what Winston did.
The only saving grace in all of this is that, you know, Jalen is 3-for-4. As far as touchdown to turnovers. And I know this probably is not going to make a lot of people feel better, but Patrick Mahomes is 5-for-4.
So, but let me throw one more little thing in there. You got to include 2 Hurts fumbles he's lost. So that's 6 turnovers.
Yeah.
I don't think Mahomes has lost a turnover on a fumble turnover. So.
No, he needs to be better with the football.
The only guy with more turnovers at the quarterback position in the NFL this year is Will Levis, and we all know Will Levis is. Okay, he's the only one that has more turnovers. I mean,
awful.
Will, like, every time I think of Will, I just see that his coach talking about, what the hell are you doing?
What in the bleep are you doing? Unfortunately, we're entering that territory with Hurts. Look, I thought yesterday was a good win, in spite of Sirianni, in spite of the Hurts turnovers. But I know not everyone feels that way. 215-592-9494. On the other side, we'll talk to Howard Eskin. We'll go right in with the dope here. What did Howard think of the win? I know he asked a question yesterday in the presser with Sirianni about the resiliency the team showed. But Howard's always harping on the turnover differential. Now the Eagles are 0-for-3 in terms of winning the turnover battle. They lost it in Brazil. They lost to the Falcons. They lost it yesterday. Yet they're 2-1. We'll talk to Howard next. Get everyone's phone call up here. Was yesterday a good win? 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show. As always, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.